Czech Firearms Podcast.
All right, we're going live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Czech Firearms Podcast. My name is Lucas. There is a Carl from Check My Guns right Hey-o. Next to me. And we are at IWA 2024, so it's 1 year later after the podcast with legendary gentleman sitting in front of me, Eric Groffel. But today, we have the combo. We brought two world champions, so Eric and Carl Vore. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
It's a great pleasure to have you. And we want to talk about some interesting topics. We also did a survey on Instagram, so we have some questions from the people. But how do you enjoy the show so far, Eric?
Well, you know, it's a 50 years anniversary of the IWA. Personally, I've been there for probably 25 of them.
Okay.
So, which is not too bad.
Okay.
But I still like the show. The show, it's this year, more and more people. I know you probably have seen that on the booth were like pretty packed the very first 3 days. Today it's more cool. It's the last day. You feel more relaxed.
Yeah.
And so on. But we're really past COVID now. It's clear.
Oh, yeah.
The intensity, the numbers of people coming, you can feel having a hard time moving inside the show. So, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And before we move to Khalil, I need to ask about that hat. Like, what is that? It's perfect that it can fit the headphones underneath it, but...
Well, it was a gift. As you guys know, ASG is actually the licensed manufacturer of the CZ pistol line in the airsoft world. And they gift me this super hat, fancy, on the first day of the show. So I was actually carrying it, not whole through the day, but during the show here, going through the alleys. And then it was fun. People were looking at me like, what the hell is like Mario Bros coming here around the show?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool. It's fun.
Yeah,
I like
actually,
it.
It's very fun.
We actually made jokes about that the hat is normal size, but you are just Eric too compact.
Yeah, midget Eric.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do some shots next week at the range, just trying to shoot with the hat. I'm just curious to see if it's going to be some issues with it. So
fun. Khalil, is this your second time?
Yeah, it's my second time here.
Yeah, how do you like the Germany so far and the show?
I love it because it's way colder where I'm from.
Man, I saw you struggling with the jet lag.
Yeah.
Like sleepy on the dinner, like
Yeah, then right after sleeping, I wake up around 2 a.m.
Okay.
I sleep at 11 or 10 p.m., so that's like a few hours of sleep.
How long is the flight, actually?
It's like almost 30 hours. 30 hours with the layovers.
30 hours.
With the layovers.
Yeah, with the stops and everything.
Wow.
that's not that
and
comfy.
And flying home right after the show?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's actually starting tonight. So imagine, and right when we're done with the show today, I think that's what you said, right?
Yep.
You're going to the train station, train to, was that Stuttgart or something?
Yep. And then Frankfurt.
And then yeah, Frankfurt.
Oh.
Boom, yeah. boom. Yeah. Back home.
Yeah. How do you guys deal with the people are recognizing you? It's not like a very common for Eric, right? Because, you know, you do it for years now. But for you, like being recognized between the people, it might be disturbing. I kind of understand that there might be like people like flies, right? Like, hey, let's take a picture.
No, I'm actually really happy to see people like that.
I mean, absolutely.
Overwhelmed.
But I can imagine once you are like terribly jet lagged and then like you are hungry or something and then there's like plenty of people like walking around like disturbing you, like hey, pushing you to the corner to make the...
No, I actually forget about everything when people go to me.
Nice.
That really makes me happy, you know, when people recognizes you.
Great.
If I can ask you, gentlemen, just to get closer to the microphones because of the sound we hear from the rest of the show.
Yeah, we have some extra sounds from the show. It has become pretty crowdy. So let's talk about the performance. So we did like a nice introduction, but let's talk about the performance. We have some questions from our fans. So what do you guys think is the most important part needed for performance? And it must be anything. It might be like the technical advantage or like the whole combo. Eric, what do you think?
It's a tricky question. But it's pretty easy to answer. I would say performance is a combination of necessarily athlete skills. That's okay. One thing.
Okay.
Equipment. That will make the second part. So you in the equipment, you get, of course, the gun, the ammunition, everything that goes around your rig, this. Athlete skills, it's all about the athletic performance, reaction, speed, force that you can that you put on. Then you have, I would say, all the mental aspect. And most likely that mental aspect is the most important one in deciding whether you're going to perform or not. Mental comes in with first stage reading, making a decision, okay, that's my read. I'm going to go there. I'm going to shoot this way. Is it correct, not correct? That's different story. You're making a choice. Are you making a choice based on scores of your competition, or are you making a decision based on your personal feelings? And then the execution.
Yeah.
Execute the plan.
My following question, leaded from your answer, is like, do you often change your stage plan like a minute before the start?
Or even 10 seconds before the start.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You also
10 seconds
I did
before.
That at the world shoot.
Like, yeah?
The RO was commanding me to load and make ready. Then I changed my game plan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, because I was the last shooter.
Uh-huh.
Then I saw everybody shoot the stage already.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a different plan that I think it's is way faster. So I did that.
Okay. Did it go well?
It worked out, yeah. I got the stage win.
Nice. These are the most crucial moments. But once you make it work, it's like a miracle, right? It's like, yes, hell yeah. It's all there. Speaking about the performance, what would you say is the percentage of the skills and the gear, or the physical stuff? I mean, the technical aspects, the gun and equipment, as you mentioned. What's the ratio?
Pretty straight, easy. 25% is your equipment. 25% is
only
your,
25.
Okay.
Is your athletic skills, and 50% is your mental.
Ooh.
Okay.
And you know why?
You agree?
Yep. You agree? Yep.
Okay.
And that's very simple. The athletic skills, you work them all year long. So you prepare, you get, they're done, they're ready.
Yeah.
So that's one thing, it's control, it's set. The gun, equipment, ammo, it's also something that you prepare along the year. So it's ready, you know it works or it doesn't work. If it works, you're pretty good. The margin of error here is fairly controlled.
Oh, yeah.
Mental, you never know what's going to go through your head at that moment. You're never prepared to any screw up in your head.
Yeah.
Well, how are you going to react if somebody says, hey, you're a little bit slower today. What's going on?
Oh, shit.
It's like, you're like, am I? Is it really true? Is it correct?
Oh, yeah.
Are you able to take the statistics and check your scores and to confirm that you're slower or not? Or are you like freaking out? Are you reacting to this information?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you react. How do you react? Do you react by slowing down because you're scared, or you're reacting because you're going to push forward and move faster and shoot faster and probably start making mistakes? How are you going to react to the mistakes if you go faster?
That actually reminds me the movie Pumping Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was making these like mental pushes to the opponents just to throw them
to
off.
Sylvester Stallone and the...
And is this also happening with the IPS shooting?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every day, every time.
Yeah, you can get like a message from the RO or from like your biggest opponent is beating you. Like you are in the middle of the match, right?
Yep.
These are the worst.
Carl,
yeah,
we can't close your ears. You mean you is there standing talking to someone, and on the other side someone is talking loud enough
so you can hear.
You're not focused on that discussion. You're not focused on that discussion, but you can hear the information.
It sneaks into your mind.
And it's in. You can't block that.
Mm-hmm.
So the information passes. Now, how you deal with that, it's mental.
Yeah. So, Khalil, what was the worst you've heard so far? What threw you off the most?
You're gaining weight.
Really?
That's the most common one. Yeah.
Oh, so that's what breaks your kind of focus, right?
A little, but I go straight back to focusing on the stage plan.
I got you. How did you guys met, actually? How did you guys met?
I would start actually with something else, even before that. So, how did you heard? Can you recall the first time you heard about the other one?
Yeah.
Like, but for example, Eric, when you heard for the first time that there is a little Asian guy who does it better?
Well, actually, I didn't hear about one Asian guy, and I heard about two Asian guys, because there were two of those. Him, Khalil, and Bro Texan. And they were described like two monsters of standard division, IPSC, rock and roll, shoot, no fear, no temp. I mean, pretty much reckless when they presented. It's like, geez, who are those two kids? I mean, I need to get to see that, because it's not often we get juniors. Well, because they were like 16 years old. So, we don't have much of young people in the sport. So, and I'm at the point where I'm getting older, and I'm still in love with the sport and the competition, but the future is not me, it's these young kids.
Yeah.
And we need to get there and see that. So I get to see him already 2017, when we shot the French shoot. World shoot, and then I saw them again in Serbia. Actually at the range of Ljubiša Momčilović, who is also one member of the CZ shooting team, as you guys know. And they were here again, and after a few years, I was like, damn. And I told our marketing director at the CZ, he says, we need to hire this guy. This guy is
something else.
He's got gold. He's got gold in his hand. We need to take a shot. We need to get him in, because there's a chance he wins the title. And here it is.
There he goes.
And it worked out.
And it worked out. Yeah.
So how about you, Kyle? Can you recall the first time you've heard about Eric?
It was
when you were like 3 years old, I guess.
No, I started shooting when I was when I was like 11 years old.
Okay.
Then after like 6-8 months, I heard about this guy, a French guy, who wins a lot of titles. Because I was just new, I know nothing about the community.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I just
imagine you are still a kid, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In the age of 11, you are just...
I was just listening to the older people that talks about the competition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, who's Eric Graffel? Then I searched him up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Then I watch a lot of his videos, especially the world shoot in Greece.
Okay, yeah. Okay. What was like the first meeting of you guys?
World shoot?
Yeah, I would say world shoot friends. World shoot friends, 2017.
You introduced
2017.
Yourself to each other and just like...
I was actually shocked, because in his old videos he was fatter.
I see.
During world shoot 2017, everybody was shocked because he was so fit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just athletic. Yeah, yeah. We talked about the...
We talked about that story. We don't need to get through this one again.
I know.
No, we won't. Well, who wants to hear it? Play the first first episode.
My next question is, you guys are like a role model to a lot of people. I'm taking my inspiration as well. I'm not trying like to steal from you, but I'm being inspired personally. But my question is, do you have your role model? Or who is inspiration for you guys?
In shooting?
Oh, no, it might be journaling, it might be in shooting, you know. Yeah, you handle the question.
Shoot first.
In shooting, it's Eric.
Oh, nice.
JJ Okaza.
Okay.
And Bob Vogel.
Okay. And generally?
Generally, and with how I shoot, with my mindset, I have a coach in the Philippines.
Okay.
He's like my mental coach. His name is Lyndon Beraugo.
Okay.
And he's actually my inspiration every time I shoot, because I recall everything he taught me about the mental game in shooting.
Nice. Yeah, it's so the mental thing is so important, right?
Yeah,
it is.
50%. We already said that.
I expected a little bit less, but you are probably right. So how about you, Eric?
Well, I started much before Khalil. So for me, you know, if we talk about the shooting part, of course, Rob Lidson.
Okay.
Jerry Mitrelic.
Oh, yeah.
All these guys from that generations. We got Todd Jarrett, also Jerry Barnhart. For those who know him, all these guys. I've learned from them. I've been in the U.S. many times in my young age to learn how to shoot, how to be effective. Because by the time, clearly, U.S. were way above any other countries in the world. So the only way you want to learn is to go there and do your best.
See the trends. Yeah. Do you consider U.S. as a still like a leader in this industry?
Well, it's definitely a leader in the industry in the sense that they have probably the most potential top shooters on their soil.
I mean, this is more like coming from the culture generally.
It's also because the country is bigger, more people shoot. I mean, USPSA, I can't call the right numbers, but they're probably like 30,000-40,000 more members into it. So necessarily you got more potential athletes there. They are way more into supporting top guys than we can find anywhere else in the world. Even though some companies around Europe are supporting, and also like you can see in CZ, we're having a pretty strong team.
Yep.
But still, US is definitely the market where a top shooter, top athlete needs to go, kind of to be recognized by the shooting world. Mm-hmm. Because if you're approved, if you're a USA approved top shooter,
it
opens a lot
everywhere.
Of gates. Yeah.
So and any role model from like a general world or like star or
I'm sucking a little bit of everyone, what I want, what I'm expecting, you know. I like my life in the sense that I'm going home, it's quiet. I like that part of my life, but I like also the part of life where I travel, get to meet the people, get to talk with people, stuff like that. I like the life also where we do this crazy freaking dinners with like good food, discover the countries. Go to Brazil, and I like I like to go Brazil and go to the Churras Carias. I like to go in the Philippines and just get my adobo. I suck a little bit from everywhere. So I cannot call a name.
I was expecting someone like Michael Schumacher or something like that from the other sport, for example, someone who reached the absolute top.
Well, if you talk about sport, yes, you can call it Michael Schumacher. You can call it Hamilton right now. We got Verstappen, who is on the one of the newcomers, and I'm actually using Verstappen as a good example now to the young kid. I said, look at this, at this driver who succeed now is on top of his game. But Hamilton did the exact same. And if you look at the history of those drivers, for example, they started young.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's no secret.
Yeah.
They're starting at a very young age. And this is proven in every single sport.
Yeah.
You start when you're a teenager, or even before if you can, you have the real most chances to achieve top potential athlete in what you like.
Oh, yeah. Because there must be something in the fact that you are learning the skill once you are physically growing.
Yeah.
So it becomes a part of your body. Yeah. So you grow with that.
Yeah.
The same. It might be weird, but you make your own opinion about it. But there's probably that aspect, right? That you grow and you gain something extra, and then it becomes part of your body.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also much easier to learn when you're growing up, because that's the age when you're learning everything.
Yes. You're a sponge.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. If we are old, it's hard to learn now.
Not really. You need to find the right motivation, but
he doesn't want to say
he's old. No.
Exactly.
He's slightly younger than me. So
you're learning slower than a younger boy.
Yeah, definitely. Because the kids are soaking. They're freaking soaking the info, and it's like, it takes our computer works like different, right? We just think, okay, like hear, accept, and then like use. But the kids are like, they just see and they're like, eh, they're using like second afterwards, like, yeah, I'm using your skills now.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's so great about the humans generally. What's the next is that this one is a little bit spicy. So what gun would you shoot if there's no CZ? CZ doesn't exist. What gun are you shooting?
You go first.
Khalil is playing for time. Right. Oh, yeah.
No, well,
we'll add the dramatic music.
We talked about it, I think, last year. My very first gun when I started was a Colt Officer.
Oh yeah.
So, yes, I'm like corporate in this somehow, but I started with a Colt Officer, so small gun for small hands, 6 rounds. It was 45 by the time, 6 rounds, 45 in my hand. So I was doing a lot of reloads.
Yeah.
So I'm still a fan of the 1911 platform. It's a great platform. It's a great gun. It works. There's a lot, tons of manufacturers, tons of spare parts that you can find. So basically, you can even have your own gun, not even branded, at the end of the day.
True.
Right? Yeah. You can have it your own gun, because no one has the same.
Oh, yeah. Then there would be a special branded, you know, sporting pistols, EG, you know, instead of CZ. Pistols from directly from Eric. Why not?
It might be one of the ways. One, you just don't find the right partner for your shooting. You might be ending up like building your own platform.
Build your own platform.
But that would be a lot of work.
Yeah. I don't have those skills. I'm one of the good skills I have. It's actually destroying things. There's some good.
Yeah.
Building. I probably can build something, you but I'm not sure it will be built, you know, properly or square.
I get you.
So how about you?
I would go with a custom built 2011. So
no. Oh really? Okay, yeah. Nice.
That's what I was using before CZ. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, we all agree that the design is timeless. It's just it's like pretty much the same like CZ 75. Yep. There's like so much grade on that pistol, which I doubt that engineers like thought that time that dead way, but there's like timeless kind of aspects of it which makes it so great even today, right?
There's no reason to re-engineer what makes the pistol work for now, especially the internals, as we know it's proven being reliable.
It's like Toyota cars, right? They suck at some aspects when it comes to the controls, when it comes to the you know performance parts. They don't have to change anything, right? They just do like a very slight, very little updates because they still sell great. It's a great car. Yeah. Everyone likes it. Yeah, yeah.
And also the human anatomy don't change, you know? If it's once great, working with your hand and everything, then the evolution is freaking slow, you know?
Clearly, we still have 5 fingers on the hand.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gentlemen, speed versus accuracy. this is the great one, so... What's your approach, Khalil?
I go more on speed.
We know.
that's not even an answer.
You are freaking blasting all over the place.
Yeah, they call it spray and pray.
Yeah.
But what I'm working on right now is to be accurate. If it's if the stage is demanding accuracy.
Yeah. How do you bring that aspect to your like blasting?
To train like how Eric trained me in. The EGCZ Academy.
Yeah, let's get to it because that's very interesting.
Yeah, let's get the approach of Eric. And
who came up with the idea to join the trainings?
To teach him to shoot accurate, or just to teach him how to shoot and to spray?
To teach him to shoot it at your academy, to share the knowledge, to come up with the training together.
Well, we have to make him come because. Let's say Khalil shooting style it's one profile and it works for some of the stages.
Yes.
But it doesn't work for all. It's not adaptive.
Okay.
It's shooting one way. You can sorry for saying that this way, Khalil, but if you take one of the Formula One driver who was French, Jean Alesi, was very known to also kind of go fast only, but at the end were not able to finish the race.
He was missing the endurance, right?
Exactly. So yeah. Khalil is finishing the race, which is great, but we need to get him to a point where he's able to adapt to the situation. Mm-hmm. If that stage requires to be accurate, he needs to deliver accuracy. Mm-hmm. No matter what the skills, he can rely on his speed. And even if he makes mistakes, the speed will cover the mistake. But that's not what we want. We need a profile that matches every situation so he can be even more flexible in the future.
Yeah, this is one of the aspects which I find personally very hard to imagine. You guys are the best in the world. And how do you want to keep yourself prepared for the next challenge, right? Because, you know, mentally, it's a thing. You guys know you are the best. It's proven multiple times. And then you need to keep going.
Let me just give you a cut. Yeah. You're saying we are the best. You said that. We don't believe that. We are not the best. We are the best because you guys said it. Oh. That's how we read it.
Okay.
Nice.
So see, the opposite way around. We are the best only when people are saying it. But in order for them to say that, we need to stay on track. So that means we need to fight for every single time for your position. We are fighting to stay where we are. We are not never saying we are the best. Mm. Only the people are doing it.
This is the pure wisdom for me. Because this is very, very great. That's what makes you champion. Simply, that's what really makes you champion. This approach, this mental
set. That's probably what keeps us motivated to keep working.
Mm-hmm.
Because the day you set
that you don't settle.
Yeah, exactly. The day you set I'm there. I'm on top of my game. I'm the best one. This is the very right moment you're gonna fall.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to that training. Can you, Khalil, describe what were the techniques that Eric used on you to actually achieve the bigger accuracy?
Okay, so day one, I was like spraying all the time. And he saw me get like two miss on one board.
Yeah.
Because I did an overswing and then pop, pop, two miss. And he told me, oh, I understand CZ's paying for your ammo, but I think they all want it in the board.
Oh, okay.
That's spicy ones. Yeah.
Mental information.
Then he told me,
true.
For every miss, I'm going to take 100 rounds from your 1,000 rounds every day.
Oh, that
from
that
the
hurts.
Training. So the
from the training, yeah.
Punishing by like taking the joy of shooting from you.
And then he told me, I can see you. We have a lot of cameras. We have in the front, back, sides. So I was like, oh my, I just need to shoot accurate. And my shots after that was like like that. Like I could
he was like
show
a big
next
right?
to each other, one holders. Did it work?
Yeah, it worked. But then when I got back home, what I did is I tried to be right in the middle of how I shoot and how he shoots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't go way fast and mess with the stage.
Right.
And not too accurate and slow down the stage. So something in the middle. Somewhere in the middle, yeah.
This is so generous for you being a coach to Khalil. I need to appreciate that. You know, you could be just focused on yourself, right? I believe we all have, you know, work to do and skills to train, but this is very generous.
But we're part of the team and we're working the same way. So the idea is most likely I'll die before him. So someone has to take the relay at some point, or some part of the group will take the relay on every position. So we need to make sure that we transfer for the older ones of the team. And I'll say, I mean, Robin, our team captain, is not getting younger either. He's still young compared to me and Martin, but me and Martin, for example, we're getting old. Mm-hmm. So and Lubisha, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to prepare and help the next generation of our team members to perform and deliver in order to stay where CZ stands today. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if we're not doing that, we're also not doing our job somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So how was the training from your perspective, training Khalil?
I would say it's not easy to train a guy that has such a potential in speed, and trying to make him understand that at some point he will need to shoot accurate, and explain him that shooting is placing a bullet in the center of a target and not all around the board. So need to get there. I think his understanding is growing. He's not there exactly where it could be yet, because he doesn't have the proper reading, I would say, of mm-hmm. points, scoring, and math. Also because he's clearly the best in his division, even if he has quite some good competitors that are like right at his tail. Mm-hmm. But the point is, he has another year and a half to prepare, and usually you get to understand that when you have to defend now. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you're chasing it, you're chasing and you're fighting to get it. So you need to be with longer teeth to grab your first title.
Oh yeah.
Now is the target.
To defend it.
Mm-hmm. Is the defendant. Mm-hmm. So it's not the same strategy either. Yes, you will have to win. Yes, you will have to sometimes strike and do some crazy shit on the stage mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. prove that you deserve the title again.
Oh yeah.
But still, the guys behind, they are all running after him.
They are hungry.
Yeah. It's just one guy defending against 20, 30, 40 guys who mm-hmm. might have the potential to win that title.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So hearing something like that before the stage would definitely ruin me. the guys hungry behind me and
it's all about
going after me.
Yeah. Mental.
Yeah, mental. Yeah. It's all about how you handle those situations. Did you find any inspiration in Khalil?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So
he's pushing me to review also my way of shooting. I'm trying to evolve all the time because the stages are evolving and also where you shoot in the world. They have different styles. Uh-huh. So shooting in the Philippines, they are very aggressive in their shooting stage design.
Oh yeah,
compared to what we have back in Europe. So
very dynamic stages.
Exactly. So you need to be really.
That's what raised you, right?
Yeah.
But it's part of the Filipino culture.
Yep.
I'd say, and this is what I like to when I travel, to suck a little bit what they do there,
yeah.
to transfer their exactly yeah. transfer it back at the home at the academy, try to put that now teach it to my son Robin. Uh-huh. Say okay, this is what they do over here, this is what they do there, so we need to uh-huh. be ready. You need to learn that thing, you need to be learn also that way of shooting, so uh-huh. when the day comes you can choose, okay, I'm gonna go that style because I believe that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm. And so we discussed the mental preparation and mental game a lot. Does it get harder and harder with each title to defend the position? Because we know that you have 9 stars on your chest and a 10 is really cool number, you know? So the 10th title is probably the one
I believe
to be the hardest.
Clearly for me, it's harder it's getting harder and harder. As I said, I'm getting older. That's one thing. Also, if you take it on the mental side, think about the guy who's going to beat me. And he will be the one able to say, hey, I got to beat Eric Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who did that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that in my head personally hurts. Like, how will I be able to react to that? How will I react? How will I feel about that?
I will face it.
One good thing I prepared myself is I clearly want a younger one than me to beat me. That's mm-hmm. for sure. That,
oh,
obviously.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a hard time if it's a super senior that beat my ass, for example. personally. But it is what it is. That's one part. Also, I thought about a couple of times, said, okay, quit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, that's one way out of it.
Mm-hmm. I witnessed
live.
Really?
Yeah, World Shoot 2017.
Yeah.
I think he had a hard time shooting that match.
Yeah.
Then he, right after the match, I told him, I want to be like you when I grow up. Then he told me, oh, you're welcome because I'm quitting.
Really?
Stopping shooting.
Yeah, wow.
Nice.
I didn't know.
Oh.
And I'm still
one
here.
Of the low points.
Because you know it's hard when you're a competitor to
yes.
stop.
Uh-huh.
You need that pressure, you
always
need that, the adrenaline.
We saw that many times that the top level sportsmen
right?
wanted to quit their careers and they come back 2 years later because they cannot live without it.
Yes.
There were Michael Schumacher that we talked about him. He did that too.
You are just addicted to adrenaline and
exactly.
all the
And there's a plan. I'm still going for the 10th one at some point. But there's two options open. It's like, okay, next World Shoot will be the 10th one for me if I win. but that's not the one when I get to senior. I'm willing to try senior and senior overall back in my game. Mm-hmm. That's really what I want. But that, if I shoot the next one, that will be my 11th one. Mm-hmm. So I either say, okay, why not making a pose? Just keep shooting. Matches all around, all around the world, but not the world shoot. So I'm not the defender anymore. I'm the chaser.
Okay.
Place yourself in the chase situation instead of being a defender situation.
Yeah, this position is always better, right?
And go to the matches where you have world champions and put them under pressure. See how they react, because they are defending the title. I'm not the one holding
like
the title.
Like to be like a little devil on the shoulder, right?
I'm not the one chasing.
I'm behind you. Like,
wow. You know? So you can play it. You can play the game in different ways.
Oh, yeah.
So
I like the approach.
There are plenty of ways to. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But you are clearly thinking about it. So that's a great approach.
Oh. How about you, Khalil? Do you find it more and more stressful to compete, or you're still just doing your game and nothing except notes about your weight can throw you off?
It's my first overall title, so I don't know how it feels yet
to be the defender. Yeah, but you were a junior champion. So you get a grasp of the defender position.
Yeah, still pushing on training. But recently I've been a little bit soft, like what I told you, but now I need to go back on hard trainings so that winning the world shoot would be not as hard as last time. Cause
just want to make it easier.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the motivation, to make winning a bit easier.
All right. Fingers crossed, man. Let's leave the heavy topics for a minute. What do you guys enjoy the most on shooting? Because you know you shoot a lot of rounds. You know, you have a blisters on your hand. I'm pretty sure that there is also negative aspects of it. There's people having like
tennis elbows.
Yes, exactly. Right. But there must be still an aspect you love about the actual act of the shooting. What is it?
Honestly, personally, I like breaking guns. I like when I end up my training, my gun is dead. And then I call the guys at the factory and say, guys, I broke that. Damn, Eric. Why did you do that? Well,
because
I like it. I enjoy pushing the limit of my equipment so that I know what I can do and what I can't. Can I trust it all the way up to here? That's personally what I like. So sometimes I'll tell you that. They will hate me at the factory. But anyway. All right.
It is.
So, we did not long time ago. Shoot. The gun gets so hot. How do we cool it down? Oh, okay, we use the fan. All right. That's cool. Let's use water. Psh, one time. Psh, two time. Psh, three time. But it's wet. It's sick. It's shit. So, you know what we do? We use also these CO2 gas which is heist.
The compressed air something like that?
Not compressed air. Compressed air is actual air temperature. Oh, yeah. So it's actually iced air. So it goes, but it's dry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the gun didn't like it too much, I must say.
Of course, there was like great temperature shock, right?
But it worked for at least several thousand rounds.
I think I saw one of your pistols like having the barrel like with completely changed color, like bluish. Like,
that's another example why they don't like me at the factory.
Yeah, once there is technical information in your head about like what temperature causes the change of that color permanently, you know, you have an idea that someone fucking shot lots of rounds through it and did something like as you said.
So this is I really push my stuff all the way, and I was talking like just as an example to Dylan the other day, and I was like, okay, I clean my machine, and I want to see how many rounds I can reload without a cleaning, so just a little bit of an air spray, re-grease the parts. Now my machine looks shit. There's like dust. bakery stuff mixed between, you know, powder carbon, and everything.
Carbon build
carbon
up.
All everywhere on the shell plate and everything. But the numbers that says on the screen, because I'm loading on the drive, on the Siemens drive actually, the number says 166,000 rounds reloading without a single cleaning.
Whoa.
So the machine is set pretty well, so I don't have too much spilling and everything. But I haven't cleaned it, so I haven't changed the spring.
You're just adding oil.
I'm just adding oil.
That's very impressive.
What?
Yeah.
I expected like a one third or
one. I was amazed also myself. I was like, damn. And I was telling my son Robin, I say, hey, that's about more than a year we didn't clean the machine. He said, yeah, something like that. All right, let's go into the setup and check. Holy shit. 166,000. Hey,
gentlemen, we all talk to people and we have like end users coming in as like, it's a great pistol. I haven't cleaned it up for like 2,000-3,000 shots and it's still doing good. You know, it's like, yeah, it's a great pistol, you know. But this is like out of
space, that's for reloading.
Man.
Well, for cleaning, we have also, we use sandblasting with plastic. So me and my son, for training, we don't strip the whole gun down. We go into the chamber with the sandblast machine, get there.
What?
And then oil, let's go shoot, let's go. So sometimes you shoot the first couple of rounds, you see some you know, plastic pellets falling off the gun a little bit and you're good to go.
But you can literally jam your gun, right?
It's training, who cares? It's part of actually...
Yeah, you would train like
solving it. Hey, if it jams, solve it. You still have to execute the plan.
I got you. Okay. I got you. Whoa.
So Eric just likes to break stuff.
Nice. What's your approach? What do you enjoy the most?
About shooting? Uh-huh. Customizing my gun.
Oh, yes. Okay. Pimp my ride.
Yeah. Putting a fancy grip, magwell, different thumb rest.
So you want to make it like looking exceptional or... Because you cannot really make it because once you guys are breaking the guns, you know... We all see like those custom like duct tape kind of changes on the guns, or like you are randomly adding the duct tape on your hand because you know you are getting the blast from the ejection port or something. But oh really, that's interesting.
Yeah, because in the Philippines, yeah, the gun culture, or I mean the sport shooters, love customizing.
I mean, everyone like, kind of likes it, right?
Making it like really easy to use.
Okay.
Yeah, so just to make it better.
So with the standard, they like it really heavy so that there's almost no recoil.
And the recoil spring is that short. So they probably on, let's say, a 15-coil spring, they cut 13 out of it. So they use a 2-coil spring. So that's it.
Yeah. And what's the ratio of making it like better or just looking different? Like the flex, you know.
No, it's like 50-50. I like the gun to look better. And perform as well.
Yeah.
Perform.
So it sounds that you actually like your gun, not like Eric. destroying
I like
it.
My gun. I like my gun. I'm not saying...
But you like it broken.
Yeah.
So does it happen that, for example, before you go for dry fire or something like that you take it out of the closet and then you just play with it, you know, look at it, polish it, like, hey, I painted it really well. I love it.
Newly painted, because sometimes we Cerakote our guns.
Mm-hmm.
So if... if the coating is you, sometimes you just don't want to use it. Use your old one for training and...
That's what I'm talking about.
I got you. So you keep one for the dirty job or for the heavy lifting, and then you have another one for show up time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
So sometimes I don't use it at all. I just sell it.
Yeah.
Like the beautiful gun that we tuned and colored, I don't use it. We just like looking at it.
Oh, I see. Because we have...
That's a different approach.
We have lots of guys like tuning the guns where it doesn't really make sense, but it looks cool, right? So, and it's like, yeah, but this is this is like not technically or not performance based.
No, it needs to perform.
No, but it looks cool, man. It's just, I just love it to be different, right? I mean, Carl loves all those M-Lock wooden grips.
Yeah, or wood panels on M-Lock.
Panels on M-Lock on the AR-15, for instance. Yeah, I was like, man, what the hell?
I love it.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Come on, you don't want to lift in the crate, you know, made of concrete with the cold walls and cold ground. You need a touch of wood, you know. You need to feel comfortable there.
This is what is so beautiful about a community. Everyone likes something different, so that's what I appreciate, because it must be like total waste of time for someone, but the other guy totally loves it, mm-hmm. and willing to spend money, and you know, this is so cool, and I need it. Great. What is the device lying on the table right in front of you?
Aha!
The white stuff.
The white stuff. It's VR. So
okay. We are
you're playing
now.
Games a lot.
It's it's actually a company we met at the SHOT Show called Aced Virtual Shooting, and they brought up a system where you use your virtual goggles, and where they can recreate a stage. With of course different training situation and so on.
Okay.
But the top of that is, of course, they have different pistol, different target, USPSA, IPSC, and just training, regular training, so that you can work on. But recently I was we were trying with Robin, my son, in an open space, so you can actually have a safe area, open. And then
like
when you're putting the goggles, you're within the stage, so you can see the fault lines, you can see the markings, where are the limits, and so on, and you move actually.
So you have all the barricades.
Barricades, movements, and you can move like 3, 4, 5, 10 meters within the stage, remaining within the designated area.
Okay.
Which is fun because you realize that you were shooting. And he started leaning out on one side and is like, damn, what the hell is he doing? And when I shot the stage, so we were at the corner with the barricade, you had to lean out so that you can see a target.
Oh, yeah.
But there were nothing in the room. So it's kind of freaking weird, you know?
Yeah.
But when you are there, you really forget everything. You have the sound, you have the vision, you turn your head, you're actually turning the image, what you see, you're inside the stage.
Like very special state of mind.
It's unbelievable. You can simulate mag change, draw. Right now the gun is just a simulation, but they're gonna build us a Shadow 2 version of that pistol that we can see here.
Okay.
Can we
but
try
already
it?
inside here, what I shoot now is a Shadow 2. I got a Shadow 2 optic ready inside, same as fairly the same as this, and I can choose the optic based on different optics they have here already in stock in their database. Uh-huh. So I can really reproduce fairly what I have in the real world. Of course, you don't get the recoil, but you get already a reading, if especially for sport shooters, competitive shooters, you can actually easily train strategy.
And you can change the stage very quickly.
There
you can go for hundreds of stages.
Tons of stage already inside here, and practice drills and stuff. But as I said, it's there. You can already do some part of the job. It's not everything. It's not dry fire. It's not live fire. But it's an extra tool that you can use to actually perform and improve your skills.
Yeah. I personally tried it. We had the privilege to be on the same dinner together.
Yeah.
And while waiting for the meal, I tried it, and it's great. You forget about things.
Exactly.
And
you were into it. That was so funny to see you.
Yeah. Right. It was like whoa. And then you like hit the board, and then you have optic popped up on the pistol.
Oh.
And then you can choose the model, and then like there's a. It was like a blink stage with all the plates, all the targets,
swingers,
everything. Like so many targets.
Yeah.
So you are getting lost there. You don't know what to shoot first, and they're like, bang, 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 bang.
And we got that now. So we didn't shoot much during the show. So prior to the show, I got the system about 10 days with me. And I had a meeting with the company who built that ACE, who built the system. And they said, wow, damn it, Eric. What did you do with the gun in the system? You shot 18,000 rounds in 10 days. I was like, what? Not me. My son, yes, for sure. I shot some. I shot probably 2,000 or 3,000.
Okay.
But we shot in 10 days with different people, passing on the family and all the people we got to meet to try, just to give it a try. 18,000 rounds in 10 days. Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's really squeezes.
That's crazy. You still practice the aiming. And I figured out when I shot iron sight in there, I'm actually closing one eye.
Yes,
the hard shots, I'm like, hey, I have to aim. Close one eye.
Exactly.
But you know, you're in the virtual world, so nobody sees that you're closing one eye, but you're closing the eye so that you can actually focus on your sight and get the shot done properly far.
I mean, this one doesn't forget anything. Right?
No.
You need to work hard for the sight alignment
and
to be able to hit the target.
Yep.
It's not like a game. It's not like Call of Duty or something like that, where you have just a cross or something blasting over the place, hitting targets. But you need to work for that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Should we try it on right now?
You want me to turn it on for you, Cal?
Yeah.
All right. You want it.
All right.
Great. Give me a sec.
Man, you will love it. Yeah. Yeah. I love the aspect of that it takes you from the reality. You are still training your skills, but you are basically gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So we all consider gaming as a fun, right? Yeah. So it's the time when you are off, when you are basically enjoying your free time. You want to forget about business, forget about like everyday things, and you are gaming. And this is the extra point where you have the training involved, or we can all say that we all know gamers, right?
Yeah.
More or less. They have skills, but they have different skills. I mean, reaction time, the communication skills, once they go in the teams. So you can gain from it a lot. And as Eric mentioned, 18,000 shots, you can only gain from it.
And have you tried it, Khalil?
Yeah, I tried the blinking stage.
Oh, yeah.
Then I actually... got to train the far targets because you have small plates there, right?
Uh-huh.
The far ones. And I was like aiming and then prepping the trigger.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the future of this? Are you about to add this to your training plan or something?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
Because you won't feel that you're working.
You know what I find interesting about you? That you are still running the iron sights.
Of course.
Switch over here.
So I need to go at your place.
Yeah.
Get
here.
So you can come over to here.
Yeah. Yeah. So Eric is actually running the podcast now.
I come with you, man.
Alrighty. Yeah, but before the guys settle, have you been thinking about switching to optics?
Yeah, but my boss won't let me.
Oh, yeah! Now you are stuck with the division, right?
He wants me to win more titles.
The gun is in front of you, Carol.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
yeah. Just
you see some targets.
Set the mic.
Not yet. It's black. Three dots lining up. Ah, now I see you through the camera. Woo!
Yeah, set the mic.
Okay. Do I hear it?
You will probably need to shoot one-handed. Left-handed, probably.
No,
thanks
not
to the
really.
Situation.
So I see a screen here in front of me. I'm pointing at it with.
Do you see Ace down on the screen, or do you see on the on the
no,
right?
No, it's just a black screen. Phil Horizon is written on it.
Hold on.
Come over and.
Eric will fix it for you.
Yeah.
So, Caleb, in the meantime, what division do you enjoy the most, aside of the standard?
Open. Yeah.
Do you use it for training to gain speed or gain speed?
No,
this is funny topic.
For my personal training, I don't use open, but when I teach at home.
You have open guys, so obviously.
Even they're not shooting open, I try to teach them while I'm using an open gun.
Oh, I got you.
Or a production optic gun.
So that would be possibly your second division to join if there is no standard or if there is like changing rules or something.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we got Carl plugged in.
Oh. Can you place this on my head also?
Do you see something?
Yes. Where's the microphone? Oh, here it is.
Yeah. So we have Carl like...
Oh, my God.
Guessing the future.
Please record this. This is amazing.
Carl, what do you see?
Tons of targets.
Can I shoot you? Oh, my... Bang! Oh, damn.
Oh yeah, nice.
So
oh,
Carl, so if, I'm cool, not, if I'm not mistaken, you're shooting Iron Sight right now, right?
Yes.
And if you turn your head to the left, turn your head to your left. If you watch the left, oh, you can see some sights. here we go.
Hello. All right. There. So do I shoot it to change it?
Exactly. Choose one sight.
Woo!
Now you have optic ready.
That's so cool.
And now you
guys,
can shoot.
Guys, I really wish you could
can
see
can you
that.
Describe the gun you see inside there?
Of course. It's a standard Shadow 2. Yeah, optics ready now.
Uh-huh.
I see.
So extended, it's a blue, extended, blue version.
Yeah, it's a blue version with extended mech plate. Yeah, it's just like real. It's unbelievable.
Cool, mate.
Really.
So now shoot some rounds.
Oh, yeah. Man.
You're hitting the target?
I need that for Link's brutality. Oh, of course, I'm hitting all of the targets.
Look at his damn face. He's like, ooh, give me more.
Oh. Yeah, we actually posted a picture of myself on the dinner. Like,
do I reload it somehow? It's just infinite?
No, we put it on infinite for now.
Okay.
But if you want, just press the mag release. Press the mag release, it will fall.
Now, it popped out.
Tap it back in.
Oh, it's back.
And now you can shoot again.
Oh, nice.
That's so
sweet.
This
is cool.
Man, there are like the banners saying EGCZ everywhere.
Oh, it's branded.
It's even branded. The stage is branded.
Nice. Now we can see like Carl dealing with multitasking, right? We are just men. We cannot really do a lot of multitasking, right? This is something for women. They can do really good.
It's so easy, man. Makes everything so easy.
Yeah, we'll really try to edit some recordings from this one and put it to the corner of the visual
so everybody can see it.
Yeah. I think that we need this.
Yeah, man, I need that. I'm not a gamer myself. I don't have time for that.
No, me either. But this is something else.
Can you imagine just playing with this before you go to sleep?
Yes. What? And the thing is,
I think I could even persuade, you know, the girl you have come over. You come from the bar, so what we're gonna do next? Well, have you seen this VR?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she can shoot it.
She will be nice and prepared and you will be freaking dry firing.
And the far ones? Oh, it's
you
like
need to work
nothing
for that, right?
Yeah.
Are they planning to add recoil to this? Like
well, for now is they are busy developing the system, more stages, because it's an online community, so they're adding stages. Mm-hmm. Basically in the system you subscribe to their feed so that you can have uploaded and new stages every week with some contest every week and so on. So like it's a plan that you have. Probably the next generation will be why not CO2 gas operated or.
Oh yeah,
you know there's plenty ways we can go.
Oh, yeah.
With this. So
I can imagine like the potential of this one, like a leak or you know.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know push the thing even further out, make a contest between gamers.
Exactly.
And
actual
shooters.
Oh,
exactly.
That would
I can
be
imagine.
That's
I can
a
imagine
great idea.
They're going to be a people really
because
really
we are on the edge here between the gamers where you know people will shoot and they train and they set their skills and bring the top guy shooters to a contest where they play a real gun and they have to perform here and deliver and we are very very close to what we have in the reality.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely, no doubt about it.
Because you can put the reload, mandatory reload after the 15 rounds if you want. Or do
I mean, the technology is still there. We already have like a recoil devices on the airsoft guns.
Yep.
You know, there's an air leak.
Correct.
I mean, it's pretty new in the place where I come from. But there is an air gun or IPSC air or. I'm not sure what's the exact name, but we have kids running around in the air.
Look at his face. He's like, I love it.
Just leave me alone with this for the rest of the time.
Yeah. The thing is that we are not gamers.
No.
But seeing this, we are back in. So last time I played the game was like in a school, I believe.
As I said, it's shooting, but it's a tool.
Back.
It's a tool. To actually implement skills, there's some drills about accuracy. There's some drills about speed. Is that something that we can use for armed forces? Because when they can't shoot, yes, I would say yes. Do you need to train a lot? No, you can use that every day.
Yes.
Imagine the police in some countries when they don't have time to get to the range. Why not do a short session of just bullseye shooting? Or
man, this
or,
is a solution
know.
For you while traveling.
Yeah, exactly.
You can really bring your gun to the Iwa and or you know arrange like a range session in here. You can do this.
Yeah. So imagine Eric just waiting for his flight at the airport with this in his hand, that VR on his face. Like
the problem with this one, it needs to be in the luggage.
Yeah, the gun had to be. Actually, that was a good try for me coming here because I flew and I showed that to the check-in. I said, "Listen, guys, it's not a gun, but it looks like a gun. How do you see that coming?" Well, they said, "Put it in luggage. We'll do it the same procedure as a real gun."
Because it looks like it.
It looks like it, and it will show actually when we X-ray it. It was visible as a gun,
like a general shape.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So it went through the exact same procedure as traveling a pistol.
Yeah, but imagine for us, you know, as a shooters. Once you want to like organize a training, you are rebuilding the stages. We all know how complicated it is. You need to move stuff physically to rebuild the stage, move the targets, replace them, you know, cover them up. This is like within the blink of an eye, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You just switch to a different stage and you are on.
Yeah.
Imagine how efficient you can be with that one, like 10 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You just switch it on.
You don't have time to get to the range. You can use that.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah.
Want to switch the seats or you want to? Okay.
Yeah, I need to put my eyes on it. I mean, not my hands, but put my eyes into it. Yeah, because this is so cool. Yeah, and I'm really jealous on you right now because I would love to have some little trigger time
it's
myself.
Great. We need that. So whoever made it, we need it.
yeah. It's well.
We are open to conversation. Now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Fun.
Well, we are actually discussing so that you know the process. But we are discussing of bringing. EGCC Academy is doing matches competition now at the academy, and the idea why we brought that is that if you can't come to the EGCC Academy because whatever reason, well, after the match we can propose you to shoot the stages that you haven't shot.
Oh yeah.
So bring also something up the game, say, hey, that was the match, what we shot in 2023, this is what we are shot 2024 after the match, so nobody get to see it before, but there's a second contest, and you can actually, why not uploading the scores of the shooters that were here into the system so that you can compare yourself into it. So it's pretty cool.
It's great. You can brand the stages, I mean the stage designs, like World Shoot 2017 or something, design it. And people will shoot the same stage as you did.
Yeah.
Because I believe we all find the videos, right?
Can you imagine that there would be also this like shadow of Eric Raffel, how he actually shot it? So you can compare yourself to it?
Yeah.
We all had those race car simulations.
Exactly. There's stones of tons of potential.
Possibilities.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And then, you know, Khalil would shoot it one way, so you can shadow Khalil, you can shadow, I don't know, Robin Shabo, you can shadow me.
Oh, yeah.
So
and you're going to be called Shadow too.
Oh yeah.
So, great. Talking of that, hey guys, by the way, if you're watching, but this is the new Shadow 2 Orange facelifted. So we have the optic ready cuts and also the serrations on the back. This was new for Iowa 2024. If you miss it. And of course, you heard about it probably with the guys, but the Shadow 2 Compact is the new hot cookie from us at the CZ. So we have the aluminum frame, 15 rounds magazine, smaller, lighter, 4-inch barrel. It's actually 35% lighter than the original Shadow 2.
Yeah, like so 700 grams, right?
Exactly, 850 actually.
Oh, nice.
Something like that. And basically, it's a sport racing gun, so it has everything you have in your Shadow 2, but it's on the dimension of a concealed carry pistol, so that's really the gun that you can actually and carry and shoot at the range. So if you don't have one, I recommend that you go and get yourself one. It's a great, fantastic gun.
Oh yeah, we have lots of people asking like what is the purpose of that pistol, you know, because CZ is known for making guns for the purpose. Right, you have like a typical service gun, then a little race gun, blah blah blah. But this is more like a lifestyle pistol.
It's a clearly lifestyle pistol. It's like, you know, you're buying a car for your weekends. You say, oh, or a motorbike, and all right,
exactly.
Let's take it out today, or you're, you know, a lot of people have an Arlie, for example. It's a good example, the Arlie. You drive your car every day in the week, but during the weekend, you're driving your motorcycle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here, that's the exact same thing. This is something that you actually, let's say, carry during your weekdays, and that's the one that you're going to bring to the range during the weekend. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's something that at the start, when they brought the concept, and I was like, why are we doing a concealed carry? This is not the orientation for steel frame gun.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, yeah, that makes sense. That will work. That will definitely work. You know, I was not in the idea of that first and that it will work. And guess what? Today, at least in France, I can tell, owning a gun store, I'm selling more Shadow 2 compacts than I'm just selling regular Shadow 2s.
Yeah. Yep. Majority of people are doing it for lifestyle. Yeah,
exactly.
And it looks great. It performs. I was also very skeptical when I saw it for the first time, but then you fell in love with it.
Yeah. It's a cool looking gun.
Yeah.
It's a cool looking gun.
It's nice. Yeah. As Arnold says, it's a nice.
It's about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So should we go for the questions from Instagram?
Go ahead. Do you have it recorded?
Yeah, I wrote it over here. So one of the first question was for you, Eric. So how did you come up with the way how you hold the gun? How did you figure out that grip of yours?
I didn't figure it out. As earlier said, I've learned a lot from my history, watching Rob Latham, Jerry Barnard, and all these guys from that generation, Jeremy Shrulik as well. And I had a mixed combo of everything they said. If you look at Rob Latham, he's like, you don't need to hold the gun to be accurate. So you can hold the gun shit as long as you press the trigger and you aim properly. It will hit, which is true. Mm-hmm. Holding the gun, basically, it's only for the recoil control. How soon the gun will return in battery in front of you so that you can pull the next shot. Mm-hmm. So the grip has nothing to do with how you pull and how you aim, right? Yeah. And then I looked at the different options between some of the guys, like, all right, let's squeeze sideways, let's squeeze backward, let's squeeze all around the gun, apply forces, more less forces here, more forces with your left hand, like bend your hand, your weak hand forward. I think Bob Bogle is actually in the style of you know, rotating pushing his wrist and pushing, and also like squeezing.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
And I'm like, wow, that's like too complicated for me. I need it
Khalil,
simple.
Can you show me with the gun?
How Rob pushes the gun inside and with all his force.
So elbows coming out.
Elbows out. Yeah. Okay.
And
but that really also depends what caliber you use, what
caliber you shoot, and so on. But at the end, I reckon that
power factor,
the alignment of my, basically the gun, if we look at here, the alignment of the gun, hand, wrist, forearm, makes a huge difference for me. So if I go here, let's go here. If I go here, if you look now at my arm, now I'm aiming. If you look at my hand, arm, and gun, you can see that it's aligned. So I'm not the guy that comes in this position like a lot of people are having this position. Now the gun is like this, but you have an angle on your wrist and your forearm is slightly lower. And then, of course, creating like an easier rotation of your gun. So I realized that if the whole system is fairly aligned, you don't need to apply much force and make your life easy. And let's be honest, the gun will move.
Yep.
No matter what you do, the gun will move. So it's actually based on personal preference or acceptance. What do you consider to be a decent movement, an acceptable movement for your gun? And you stick to that.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Just for the record, all the guns are have been inspected. They are all safe. Actually, these are show guns, so all the firing pins are removed or shortened.
Yep.
So no violations of safety whatsoever. Okay, so for all of those you out there in the comment section.
now you cut like 50% of the comments under the video.
Yeah, I purposely made it like this.
All right.
Yeah,
so
Khalil, I'm very curious about your approach, because, for instance, you are using the trigger guard for support,
correct,
right?
Correct.
That's like very typical.
Small hands. I got small hands, and since I need to go as high as possible onto the gun,
but Kalil is a little bit different story. You're running major, 40, right? Different pistol, different balance.
And I have a thumb rest.
You have a thumb rest. Do you like the original one on the orange, or do you have your
own? I like this one, but I have something wider with
the gun. Oh, yeah. There's some more
customization.
Yeah.
So,
your hands are not big, man.
Not so big.
And also with the new design of the safety on the TS.
Yeah, I like this one because of the thumb rest.
Yes, yes, it creates more space.
So that I don't hit my.
You can push your hand up more up or higher. Actually, I removed those safeties and I use it on my Shadow too.
Oh, really?
Because you know my hands are slightly bigger. And I like it because you can put your weak hand. You know, I'm lefty. I know, you know, disabled, blah blah blah. But these safeties are helping me because you know in the production division you don't have to work with safety, right? Yep. But you have additional thumb rest.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm not sure actually if it's allowed.
It is allowed. Yeah. I'm using actually extended safety on both sides myself.
Yeah, I'm good.
So Kalil, what's your way of holding the gun?
I use 50-50% on the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I push hard with my left thumb on the thumb rest.
That's how you develop those splits with the 40. Yeah. This is like crazy.
But no even with really. With accurate shots, if I don't push down hard on the thumb rest, I don't know why, but I have more pickup.
You
shoot up. Yeah, I shoot up. Yeah.
you know the
more
best,
pickup shots.
Right? Yeah. But everyone else for observer,
just push down.
You
hard.
See those splits on the short targets. Like, brip, brip, brip. with those 40s, is something else. Yep. This is something else. Let's try it out, guys.
Doing the splits is easy. It's getting the two hits, the second hit in the board, which becomes different.
Yeah,
because I can also send the two out. I'm not sure if they're gonna get here or if they're gonna get like that.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I see.
With the 40, I mastered the timing already.
Mm-hmm.
I even practiced 20 meters with a double tap, where I get to practice the predictive shooting.
What?
But only in training.
On static, right? It's static.
Static, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It helps me use that skill to be like an aim assist when doing reactive shooting. So
yeah. Aim assist.
Yeah.
So you purposely need to add aiming, right?
Yeah.
Like, please turn on the aim assist. I'm in trouble.
I don't take my skill with predictive shooting.
Okay.
They don't take it for granted. Mm-hmm. Like you do it in matches where you get misses. Uh-huh. I just use it as an assist to aim faster.
I see.
On hard targets.
Yeah. But what's your modifications on a gun? So you are the Pimp My Ride guy.
Yeah. Brass grips, brass magwell.
So you even
so heavier.
Yeah. Yep. So you add weight to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Physics.
Yep, and a wider thumb rest. And my thumb rest at home has the same angle with a deep bronze, but it's wider. So I cut my right side safety so that I have a wide left side and wide thumb rest.
I see. Totally makes sense. Yeah. Do you see, we already asked Eric, I believe, last year, but do you feel any like physical or like injuries coming from the shoot? Because this pistol is heavy already. Mm-hmm. You added more weight.
I had one last year with my middle finger on my right side because of the gripping.
Oh, so you've been so tight with the middle finger.
Then with the recoil, because it's a 40, so I only train 200-300 rounds.
Oh, I see.
Per hour.
Per training.
He's quiet, so.
I would have said per minute for him, but.
Hey. Full auto mode.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but now it's good. It's all good.
Yeah. You have another question?
Of course.
Yeah.
So, there's a question for both of you, of course. What do you focus on while shooting a stage?
Stage plan.
Execution
the process of
the stage
shooting.
Plan. Okay.
So, it's not like with the Top Gear when the stick is riding with the car and the crazy music is playing in the background, usually. So, it's not like you're going on autopilot. You have to be focused.
Yeah, you need to focus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Remember in Thailand, when I asked for an advice for the last day, he told me, talk to yourself while you're shooting. Like, you go straight to the steel target and Kalil, sight, aim, prep, then fire.
Oh, I see.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, you're not alone in your world. Yeah, you have to remind you. Otherwise, we're human. We forget. That's what we do. We forget.
So. I have listened to one of the podcasts with Joe Rogan, and he's like a big fan of the archery. And there was like a master in the archery, like really good in target shooting. And they like developed a like very specific method of the mental preparation. And I'm trying to gain from it. But you physically need to say the word. So they have developed like a method, as I mentioned already. But you are supposed to like create like a very specific space for you or situation for you where you like prepare your mental to for the actual execution. And they have created like a word you say which brings that state of mind.
Like, sounds like hypnosis,
like now or
yeah, but that's positioning yourself in a certain environment. What we're doing it is you falling into what you call subconscious in your side. We are actually doing it consciously, meaning that coming into one position, what is the focus on this specific position? So you just remind you, it's like making a short life briefing. Coming into here, I need to focus that steel and that two particular shot on the paper target because I believe they are hard for me. So consciously, you're making the decision and reminding your brain, this is the two focus I need on that position. And then when it's done, click, move, getting into the next one, like another short briefing if it's just a shot, or nothing special, just nothing special.
Yeah.
But you just consciously remind you each specifics of the stage at each turn of the stage, basically.
Yeah. What I found personally very interesting is that, I mean, the qualities of the brain, how we never really explored the brain. So sometimes when I'm tired and you are in a hard part of the, I mean, life situation, might be match, might be whatever. My brain gives me like different gifts, right? Sometimes it started to play music for me.
Yeah, it could be.
So I might find myself in a stage like, and popping up my favorite song from my childhood.
Because the brain is aware about what makes you feel good and relaxed. That's what you need.
Oh yeah. Another question, please.
So this is the last question from the Instagram, and that's dry fire drills.
Your favorite?
if you can trade off.
We know this guy's approach, right?
Coming soon, guys. Coming soon.
Yeah. And your Khalil's?
I usually when I started shooting, I started with dry fire.
Yeah, we know dry fire a lot. You mentioned that in Philippines.
Previous podcast. So I usually just put two or three small targets and I do full speed, so like I pressure myself to aim with that speed that I have. There's no way, there's no slowing down.
Oh really?
Yeah. So for example, my goal is to do 100 good reps, so I need to be honest to myself that if I didn't land the sights and then
you need to call trigger, it right, you need to call the shot.
I won't count that as a good rep. Then so my goal is 100 reps, like 100 good reps. Sometimes I end up doing 200 because I overswing.
Oh, nice.
It's about the self discipline. Thing.
Carl, I'm not sure if we did the desert island.
No, we haven't. But desert island is the last question. And before that, I just want to ask Khalil. You have a new girlfriend, I've heard. Is that true? How is she supporting your passion for shooting?
She's super supportive. She actually also helped me with my mental game. Recent matches before shooting, she calls me and calms me down. There's actually a match where I brought her with me.
To see what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
Nice. So she's excited for that.
How does it work? Is that you win, you get sex, you lose, you no sex? No. I'm just curious about
shots fired.
No, if I lose my so my motivation when having a girlfriend and shooting competitions is to win, because if you do something stupid or fuck up the match, people, or especially my parents, My girlfriend won't look good.
Yeah, you. She will be blamed for being here and being distractive.
Right.
Distractive for you and not helping for
that's
performing.
That's how it works. So
unfortunately, it's a real, you know, situation for a lot of the people and a lot of the athletes. I believe not only shooting world, but
you're still people, right?
Like everywhere in everywhere in any sports. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not but simple life.
Yeah, but it's great that she has that good influence on you. That you kind of allow her to calm you down, and it works actually, which is great.
Yeah, during the match that where I brought her to the to the match.
Not all of them care.
That's true. I actually had two or three bad stages where I had two miss on one stage and then another miss on a long course.
Okay.
Then I was computing score. Mm-hmm. So I know that I'm on the borderline of losing. So I need to focus and recalibrate.
Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's actually one of the people who helped me relax during the match.
Nice.
Her and my dad and my mom.
Good for you. Good for you. Great. Let's do Desert Island.
Let's go for that. So what set of guns would you bring to the Desert Island? So it's a rifle and a pistol.
And yeah, and guys, you need to survive. You're on a desert island, so...
Those are the only tools you have with you. You're allowed to have with you.
Okay, so the real question is... If it's a desert island, do we have, like, forest, trees, and animals there, or what?
Yeah,
because
if there's nothing, do I really need a gun for?
That's
one of the English things that they call it desert island, but it's like the Robin Hood...
Robinson
Crusoe.
Yeah,
Robinson Crusoe Island. They are maybe even the cannibals.
Okay. You just explored. you found a new island, and you need to survive there because your crew left you there for.
What's the ammo capacity we have? I have to strategize that. Sorry, guys. That's not the way I work. I need to understand exactly what in which situation we are, and so I can.
I don't think that there are limitations on ammo.
Yeah, yeah. There is a long gun and a short gun, like a primary, secondary, and you just need to live with that and use it for whatever you want. It might be self protection, it might be hunting, it might be
staying being alone there with your gun.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'll go AR-15 for sure. That's a long gun.
Okay.
With probably scope magnifier, an extra dot, and sideways.
LPVO.
So So like we would say for three, the same kind of setup we will use for three guns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Enough,
okay.
Of course, enough magazines just in case.
Right.
That will be the long one, and definitely on the short one, two versions. Either because if I'm on the desert island, there's a risk that there's no extra batteries for the scope. So my first choice would be to say, okay, I'll take a smaller gun that I can easily carry, and I will go on a compact optic ready with the dot. But at the end of the day, if we don't have any spares or anything, maybe I'll go just for a regular Shadow 2 iron sights that I can have my backup gun. So that because the long gun, you know, the regular scope and the extra dot, you can turn it on and off for what you need. So it's not a big deal. You're not there on that. So that would be the logic for me.
Imagine meeting Eric on a desert island, half naked, after a few months with the custom bamboo grip on the pistol because he broke it.
That's a very possible option.
All fired up from the sun, you know, carrying like a deer on the shoulders or something. Like
that's a very good option.
And a freaking half destroyed Shadow on him, like, you know.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
We should ask AI to draw that.
Exactly. I was going to say that.
Great, great. Khalil, what is your approach to that?
For the long gun, I would go with an AR-15 or a Bren.
Okay.
Okay.
With a regular...
Damn, you're going to kill, what, dinosaurs or bulls or what with the...
Anything.
Yeah, maybe with a scope, but of course it needs to have backup iron sights.
Okay, you guys both are talking about the 5.56 variant, okay?
Yeah,
no,
5.56.
Like 300 blackout or 7.56.
Mid-size caliber.
He could be, you know, going for the brand. He might be actually thinking bigger.
Can go 308.
Yeah,
I could use a 308, yeah.
That's a lot of weight.
True. As a Filipino, he will customize it for 338 Lapua Magnum anyway. So.
Yeah, he will do like a bamboo customization. Exactly. Yeah. We need to make it fit for the island, right? Like a sling from like a, you know, bamboo rope or from coconut.
That's what I wanted to say. It's not so unreal scenario for someone from Philippines. There are thousands of islands.
Yeah. Actually, more than 3,000 islands. Yeah. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You have a lot. For the short one, I'm going to go with the TS240.
TS2.
Because I believe on how reliable a 40 caliber pistol is.
You know the reason why he wants a TS2? It's for the extra mag capacity, because he spray a lot.
With you passing by, it's like chasing her with the bullets.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Gentlemen, we had a blast.
Thank you guys for hosting us.
Thank you
very much. We need to thank CZ for letting us record this thing.
Yep. It has to become something we do every year here at the UI show, because I think it's part of it has to become part of who we are and what we are as a CZ group. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you that you kind of appreciate that. It's like a big honor for us to being a part of this one.
And guys, Carol, I got your video here in the phone, so you guys will they will do the edit and you will see what Carol sings in the goggles.
If I knew you were recording, I would like try better, but
we'll see how Carol sounds with pistol, right?
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
We wish you all the best.
We cannot wait to see you again. Enjoy safe travels home.
Yep, you too, guys.
See you next time.
Talk to you soon and see you on the matches.
Yeah, for all those of you who have listened. Thank you very much. There is plenty of the new stuff to look for on the Czech Firearms podcast, and stay tuned.
See you guys.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Ciao.